This is the Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage show by Mark Helm. Nothing Mark shares with you guarantees your success in the self-storage business. This is for informational purposes only. There are no calls to action and nothing said or implied is a call for investment money into self-storage or any other asset class. You are responsible for your success in the self-storage business or any endeavor in life. Enjoy the show, and here is Mark Helm.
Last week we talked about revenue strategies that I think are going to be really important for 2026, given the microeconomic pressures and the operating expense economic pressures we talked about last week in episode 487. I think revenue strategies are going to be really critical in 2026. Today, I want to talk about the second item in revenue strategies I would recommend focusing on in the upcoming year if you're in the self-storage business. My name is Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy, which houses the training that I offer, both free like this and paid for courses that are organized around the smaller storage investor, to help the small self-storage investor get in the self-storage business and grow their self-storage business. But today I want to focus on both 20th century and 21st century collection strategies and procedures that could have a drastic impact on your revenue in 2026. Now, if you currently own a facility or are running a facility, do yourself a favor. If you don't know this number, pull yesterday's daily close. You close daily, don't you? If you don't, start today and close daily. Or pull up a delinquency report, and I want to get like the total delinquency that's owed your project. Now that means all of it, 0 to 15 days, 15 to 30 days, 30 to 60. All of what's owed to you, all the way up to 180 days plus, if there's anything there. And take that number and divide it by your monthly gross potential income. Usually, both those numbers are on a random daily close. Not every operating system has them, but most do. And tell me, and look at what you... look at what that number is. Now, the goal is that that number be 0.05 or less. Or in other words, if you totaled all the delinquency, that should be 5% or less of what your gross potential income is per month for your facility. We call that the delinquency ratio. Now, in a well-run facility, that should be 5% or less. I've seen it over 100%. Now, here's the good news. If it's not 0.05 or less, that could be good news for you. Because in the upcoming couple months, you are going to increase your cash flow at your facility by instituting some of what we're going to talk about today. Now, sidebar here. You know the difference between a stupid person and an ignorant person? So an ignorant person just doesn't have knowledge. So if you've never heard of a delinquency ratio or never really focused on it and your delinquency ratio is above or well above 0.05, 5%, the good news is we're going to show you today how to get that down. So an ignorant person doesn't have information, and once they have that information, they can implement it and not make the same mistakes. A stupid person will get information and continue to make the same mistakes. So the question is, are you stupid or ignorant? Just kidding, but trying to make a point here. If you're running a stabilized facility and your delinquency ratio is over 5%, and frankly, most mom and pops I look at are, nothing wrong, let's just change that. I think it's going to make a huge difference for you in this upcoming year. Now, the reason your facility may be over or well over 5% is somewhat unimportant, but it's usually because of one of a few things. One is you're not auctioning, or you're not auctioning soon enough. Two is you're taking payment plans. And three is just weak collections when someone's late. So let's talk about some things you can do that will impact that immediately. And we're going to start with auctions. Now, when a person is more than 30 days past due, and in most states, 30 days is the magic number, that facility goes in lien. When someone goes in lien, a lien notice gets sent out. And every state has different lien laws and timing, but usually the processes are very similar state by state. The lien notice goes out and the clock starts ticking on when that unit's going to be auctioned. Now, you may have a policy or procedure in place. Ours is, if someone goes into lien, they can come in and pay me 50% of what they owe and take their stuff and go. And they don't go to lien. They just get out of their deal. Now, you don't have to do that. But if you do, make sure you apply it to everyone. But you don't have to have a policy. But the game is, you want to auction that unit and or get that unit back on the market as quick as you can. You don't want somebody in a unit who's not paying. Never, never, never allow someone to pay a little bit each month to try to catch up. Just don't do it. You're better off letting them walk and it'll pay you nothing. Just don't do that. That gums up your cash flow and that will keep that delinquency ratio well over 5%. Look, you're running a retail business here. Auctions are good. Don't be afraid of them. Auctions are good. Auctions get people who can't pay out. You're not doing them a favor by letting them pay a little bit each month and catch up. They'll never catch up. And you're certainly not doing yourself a favor by doing that. If you want to do them a favor, let them go. But don't take little bits each month. You run a store. And auctions put inventory back on your shelf to sell. And not only that, in an auction, you'll get something. So but literally, you get paid to create inventory. Auction quick, auction fast. Use online auction services where you can do a unit at a time. And when somebody's 30 days late, start that clock ticking and auction. Auto pay. Just assume that everyone who rents a unit from you is going to go on auto pay. I don't ask them if they want to go on auto pay. We just hand them the form. Now, if someone reacts and pushes back on it, I'm not saying they can't move in, but we tell them, look, this is our standard procedure, and it ensures you don't get a late fee and don't ever show up and can't get in your unit. And if they really push back on it, you decide whether you'll let them move in. We will probably let them move in. I never send paper invoices out. If somebody absolutely demands one, I charge $5 a month to do it. I probably need to raise that to $7 or $10 a month. But we really encourage auto pay. We assume that everyone is going to go on auto pay. I like it because I get 80% of my monthly cash flow in fourth or fifth day of each month. Auto reminders. So that's another great thing that almost every operating system has today. If someone's not on auto pay, you can set up in your operating system that they get a text and an email on the, a day before or on the day their rent is due. And in that text and email is a link where they can pay it. Or there's a link to a website where they can do it, pay it that way. We don't send auto reminders to everyone. We send auto reminders to people who are not on auto pay. You want to make it easy for people to pay you money. Now, if your operating system doesn't have that feature in it, You need to get rid of that operating system tomorrow. And if you're not going to do that, then you need to call me so I can buy your facility at a profit to you, and I'll put in the correct type of technology to run a self-storage business today. You want to create multiple ways for people to pay you. Auto pay, auto reminders. In every communication we send out with text, email, and even letters, there will be a website address or a link where somebody can pay a bill. We want to make it very easy for people to do business with us. Never waive a late fee. Just don't do it. Look, if somebody, you've created all kinds of ways for people to pay you, and if they don't pay you on time, your business suffers. You should be compensated for that. Never waive a late fee. Set your computer up so your managers can't waive late fees. They can't take those. Once a fee hits, it can't come off. You're the only one who can take it off, or your person who's overseeing the facility on your behalf, but not the managers, not at the store level. Look, that falls under the domain of tough love, like you do with your kids, right? My wife tells me if there's a weak link in the chain, it's me, and with dogs and kids, like I'm like at the weak link there. But with storage customers, you want to institute tough love. If they're late, they pay. If they're in lien, they go. And let's talk about collection calls. Now, I know it's harder and harder and harder today to get someone on the telephone. I know that. But here's where I think managed facilities have an advantage over automated facilities. Now, I'm not saying you can't have a great person making collection calls in a central office. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, in a facility that has a manager in there, what we do is we look for certain traits when we hire managers. We're looking for someone who can be trained to sell, is empathetic, and listens well. And we look for those qualities. We test for those qualities in a manager. And the reason is because when customers in the storage business move in a facility, most customers are in some transition in their life, some change in their life. Our managers know that change often causes stress and anxiety. So when someone moves into our facilities, our managers are trained and they know the person standing in front of them most likely has some kind of stress going on in their life. And our managers are aware of that and they treat the customer that way. And the customers, usually some type of relationship or bond is created, that's what we hope for, and very often it is, between the managers and the customers. So when a customer gets a phone call from the person that they have a relationship with, one, they either answer the phone or listen to the message, and two, if there's a bond, a relationship between them, very often those customers don't want to look bad to the manager, to someone they're in a relationship with. They will do, if money is tight, they'll do whatever they can to make sure that bill gets paid because they have a relationship with the manager. I've seen that over and over and over again. Now, that doesn't mean you can't be effective in collection calls with automated facilities where there is no manager and no relationship exists. It's just a lot harder. And when our managers call, or someone in a central office calls and they get a voicemail, be sure to leave the message that we have emailed you and texted you a link where you can make your payment. And always do that. Every phone call, every message that gets left on a voicemail has text and email go out. And let's talk about auto pay again. If somebody is late more than two times a year, our policy is they're on auto pay. Now, we put that in our lease as one of the rules and regs on an addendum. If they're late more than twice, they need to be on auto pay. And now I'm not saying kick them out if they're not, but you might, we have. But have that in your lease or contract so that you can institute it. Look, if you put these policies in place and get trained on how to do collection calls or hire someone who's trained on how to do collection calls, I've seen just having the right policies and procedures in place for collections at a minimum create 6% additional income to the per month to the bottom line, up to over 25% to the bottom line monthly, just by having effective procedures and systems in place. That's before you have your first price increase. And in 2026, I think this is going to be very important. I'm not going to go into it again on this episode, but watch last week's episode with the pressures that are going to be hitting our operating expenses in this year. So, if you're below 5% on your delinquency ratio, institute these policies and enjoy the ride that increased revenue is going to take you on in 2026. My name is Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Storage World Analyzer, which is one of the financial analysis tools we use as we're analyzing storage opportunities. You can find out more about it at storageworldanalyzer.com. or Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, hit the Storage World Analyzer tab. So thank you very much, and I look forward to being with you next week when we conclude this series with a third way to have real powerful impact on your 2026 revenue.